help us and see, follow the Master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim.
So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share with you this morning, and maybe we might go over to a next teaching on this. It depends how far we go with this today, but our title for this subject is Enduring and Staying with Each Other. Enduring and Staying with Each Other. And I'm going to base our teaching on this from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. Romans 15 and verses 1 to 7. And we're going to read this out, and then we're going to look at this and glean from this. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward each other according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So we're calling our teaching Enduring and Staying with Each Other. Now, it's interesting that we live in a world and society that demands its rights. Everything is geared to put you and your needs first. Everything in this world is geared in such a way to draw away your attention from Almighty God, that you can be independent of Him, that you can walk your own destiny, plan your own future, and do your own thing. That is what the spirit of this age is doing. We know that this world is still governed by the enemy, the devil, until finally the Lord Jesus comes to put him down. However, what Jesus has achieved at the cross means for those that put their faith and life in him, we can and will be delivered from that mindset, that hold. Are we still connected? Have we got sound still? We have, it's all right. Because it's a job to see when I'm working from the pad. I can't see everything. That's good news. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see that the spirit of this age really draws man away, looking to himself, being his own God, creating and forming his own destiny, building his own life. Now, when we become a new creation, born again, given that new nature in Christ Jesus, we have to learn something very quickly, and that is that we take Jesus not only, of course, as our Saviour, but also as Lord. And that means that we now yield over to the Holy Spirit, we yield over to Him so that He now begins to build our lives in and through Jesus Christ. His will and not our will. And that also means that surrendering up of the self-life, that life which wants its own way, that independent spirit, it means through the cross that we take up daily, we are willing to surrender that independent life that wants to build for itself without God. We willingly surrender that so that the kingdom of God is starting to be built in and through our lives and through the church and through the message that we preach. Because we need to remember that the doorway into the kingdom of God is set in the church, in that foundation that is laid upon Jesus Christ. Our message is a proclamation of God's kingdom, and everyone who listens has the wherewithal, the will, if they want to enter and go through that door into the kingdom of God. That is why we preach the deeper life in the Spirit. It is that open door through the baptism of the Spirit to be able to go in through that door and experience a walk in the Spirit, meaning that entering in to the kingdom of God. And all the blessings of that kingdom that we even now in this life can start to experience. But everything in this life, as I have said, is so geared to cause you to turn away and not enter into that experience. And this is why God is dealing with pride in the house of God, because pride will always feed this symptom, this independent spirit. I have no need of God. And that is why we have got so much religion around today, so many people who are sadly religious, because outwardly they confess they're Christian, but in their pride and independent spirit, their lives show that they want to be in control, they want to build their life, their future, and so on. All of that goes if we become disciples of Jesus Christ. And of course, we're living in a world that will feed all of that. Why? We all go shopping, don't we? And we find when we go to the shops, everything in shopping and advertising is to promote you, the self-life. It's there so that you can be independent of God. We have the internet today where we can have access to any form of knowledge or anything we want or anything we want to see. Most of it causes you to be independent of God. We have now coming up all advertising for next year for holidays, that you can have your dream holiday that you've been waiting for and everything, all again causing you to keep your eyes off Jesus. And we even have to be careful with our birthdays. Yes, our birthdays, where we want things that please us. We need to be careful as overcomers, because birthdays can cause you to look away from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's I want that. Not I have need of it, I want that. And it's constantly giving in to these creaturely things. And what does it do? It makes us selfish. It makes us inward looking. I call it the I want syndrome. And that is the biggest problem on planet Earth. And yet medical science doesn't ever look at that one or deal with that problem. Why is it such a problem? because it causes selfishness. It causes one to be ungrateful. It causes one to be depressed. And when we're selfish, when we're caught up with self, we become spoilt, we become difficult, hard to live with. We have these mood swings and even can cause anger. This is what it does. And this is exactly what the enemy wants society to be, is to be selfish, inward looking. And this is why we have so much depression now in the world. I'm told 1 in 4 suffers with depression of some sort. They call it bipolar. It's because I want my own way. I want to do it my way. I want to be in control. And when God begins to start to shake, which he says he's going to do, and he's going to shake the heavens and the earth, and we're seeing an increase in wars and rumors of wars, we're seeing an increase in fear and anxiety, and all these things, because God is beginning to shake, he's getting ready to come, so you are going to see these oppressions coming out of man more and more. The love of many is waxing cold because man is becoming depressed. He's no longer seeing he can control things like he used to. Why am I stressing all of this? Because these are the problems that stop true unity and oneness coming in the house of God. And you see, God doesn't give in to our wants, but he will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. If you need a pair of shoes, then God is going to give you a pair of shoes. But he's not going to give in to your greed where you've got 10, 15, 20, 30 pairs of shoes. And every time you go out shopping, oh, I've got to have that pair. And it can not only be with shoes, with clothes, yes, even food. All of these things where we become greedy and selfish and the lust and desire for more and more and more. To be like the world, to act like the world and to look like the world. God is not going to give in to that demon, that spirit. It's Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sometimes when I go shopping and I feel it's coming on, I ask myself, do I really need that? And 9 times out of 10, I find I don't. And this is a problem today. In the name it and claim it prosperity teaching that is deceiving many and even charismatics. And let's look at some of the scriptures that they cite for this. For example, Psalm 37 and verse 4. Psalm 37, you all know this well. Probably most of us have got it all underlined. But we need the Holy Spirit, the unction, the anointing, to give the true teaching and meaning of his word. In Psalm 37 and verse 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What is the key word there? It means to delight yourself in the Lord. It means that you've truly been saved. You know what you have been pardoned from. You have been given your sin, your rebellion, your unbelief. You are so filled with joy in God's forgiveness over your life that it is a delight, is as a joy. You're giving him all the praise, all the glory. That's what it means to delight in the Lord. And as a result of so truly being grateful, God works within you those godly desires according to his word. We don't often hear that expressed in that way, and yet that's what he means there. And the name it and claim it teachers of prosperity won't emphasize that too much. What does Job have to say? Let's turn to the book of Job. We're dealing with our motives, our hearts, about how God gives to us. Job 22 and verse 21. Job 22 and verse 21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. In other words, when he means acquaint yourself with him, know him, draw close to him, walk in relationship with him. Complete commitment with him, and the promise is thereby good will come to you. That is what God wants for you, for me, for all of us, that good comes to you. That goodness is also protection, blessing, his presence. A walk that is ordered and led by the Holy Spirit. That's what he means by all of this. How about Psalm 145? Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and let's look at verses 14 to 20. Verses 14 to 20. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him, and also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. There we are. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, who call upon him in truth. It means with a right heart, a right attitude, influence by the word of God. That is where God will answer our prayers. That is where he will bless us. We have to delight in him. It's a consecration. It's a walk of faith and obedience. Then we begin to see then how God blesses. I'm all for prospering. I'm all that you may walk whole in mind, body and spirit. That is what Christ paid for at Calvary. But it comes out of a motive of the heart, out of a pure heart, a pure motive. And we have to look at that. We have to ask ourselves many times, whether it's in our conscience or whether we go before the Lord, is this right? Am I asking out of a right heart, a right motive? Because if you do, then the Holy Spirit who comes in our life gives us that true freedom to walk in liberty with him. Because the word of God says, if you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. That is the true freedom. The world is not free. It's not free because it's selfish. It's what I want. It comes out of that I syndrome. Hallelujah, God has come to set us free from self, that our lives may be surrendered over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might now live that life that he now lives in us, and his life living in and through each one of us, reaching out, touching other lives, those rivers of living water. Praise God. But we note the difference. Jesus revealed the principle of needs. Let's turn to Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given you. You will find, knock, and you will open, and he will open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. So there we are. The Lord knows how to put it in context. Now, the acid test to your needs versus those wants. Is it placing you, your wants or your needs? This is the acid test. Is it placing you as a Christian, as an overcomer, in debt? That is the question. God has not saved us to walk in prosperity, to be living in constant debt. Because that is the acid test to this walk. Are my needs or my wants putting me into debt? That's the question. Because if I'm living by the needs, they're not going to put me into debt. My wants, my lusts, my desires will probably put me into debt. There's the difference. The problem is we think we're worth it. We think that we're walking in faith and obedience, therefore I have a right to these things. We have no right. Everything that God gives is by his mercy and grace, and we give it back in praise and glory to him. And everything that he blesses us with, we also bless with others, especially in the house of God. You see, if my prayers are not being answered, that is telling me that something is wrong. And so often our prayers can be hindered because we are hindered by our motive, our understanding of our wants and our needs. Even when we come before God in prayer, it very often is about a need, not a want. And there's the difference. And these can hinder our prayer life. And this is why things don't happen or prayers being answered. In fact, we should be coming to a place in prayer where we don't have to even pray about ourselves. Pray about our clothes, pray about our food, pray about those everyday things. We should have moved on by now, where we're praying far greater and bigger things that pertain to the kingdom of God. That's what God is trying. He's trying to get us all to another level, away from self, because self holds on to fear and fear holds on to unbelief. And all of those demons, they quench unity and oneness and love in the house of God. You cannot be made perfect in love all the while you're held in fear, unbelief, selfishness, my wants, and so forth. You can't mature. You cannot grow up as a son or daughter of God if you refuse to let those things go. And so if our prayers are being hindered, maybe these could be the problem. And these are plagues in the body of Christ, and they hinder true unity and oneness. And this is why I'm spending so much time on this, because these are the problems why we don't continue to move on and grow and mature in this true unity and oneness. Well, having given something on this brief introduction, we'll now start looking a bit more in Romans 12, verses 1 to 7, what is actually being meant here. So going back to this in Romans 15, verses 1 to 7, Romans 15, 1 to 7, he then says in verse 1, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now, this is dealing with the weak. It's dealing with those who, in a sense, may have just come into the walk, are new, are young Christians. And so we bear with them, we encourage them. The same as a mother with a child, an infant. She comforts that child, she's looking after that child in a way that that child won't need when it's 10 or 20 years old. And so we need that sensitivity with one another, to bear with one another the scruples of the weak. Now, it may also be where a brother or sister is coming through a deep trial or something that God is working in their lives that's taking time for them to get free and delivered. We need to be sensitive to that. This idea of scruples means a moral and ethical consideration. Maybe they're coming out of a drink problem, an alcohol problem. Well, then maybe it might be wise, if you're sitting at a dinner table, not to have a glass of wine. You're free to, but you're not going to, because you know that brother or sister is coming out of that problem. It's being sensitive to one another. And the only way you can be sensitive to one another is when you are a man or woman of prayer, praying for the body, praying for the unity and oneness, praying for each other. The Holy Spirit makes you sensitive to that. He will if you want that. It also, in a sense, acts as a restraint. In other words, you guard your tongue. You guard your actions. Maybe it isn't right to say that thing, or whatever it is, to a brother or sister. Sometimes we need to be careful what we say, as well as with our actions. We need at times to put restraints on our actions. Yes, we're free, but I choose not to be free at that point because it may cause my brother or sister to stumble. Now, you may say to yourself, well, come on, how can anybody of us live like that? That is bondage. No, it isn't if you make it your prayer. If you make it your desire as you pray for the unity and oneness of this body, the Holy Spirit will make us sensitive. He is the one that does it. He shows us, or he may show us what to pray for your brother or sister so that they may be strengthened in that area. He has shown you what he wants you to pray. And as a result of that, he's not shown you so that you go and make it gossip or talk about it to everyone else, or even be careful in a prayer meeting. It's easy sometimes to start to bring these things out and to have a go at someone, and now we'll pray. We need to be on our guard, brothers and sisters. Sometimes just pray for so-and-so. That's all that's needed, because that's why we pray in the Spirit. The Spirit prays the perfect will of God for that situation, that brother, that sister, or whatever it is. God may not want you to know all the ins and outs and all the details. We like to be still mentally in control. We want to know, and the reason we want to know is so I can form an opinion. Oh, we need to avoid all of that. We have no opinion in that sense. We all yield to the unity and the oneness. The only opinion we have is, Lord, raise them up. Lord, forgive them. Lord, bless them. They should be our opinions. That's what it means to serve, to think of your brother and sister even better than yourself. So we guard against all of this. Let's just look at some scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One, that unity and oneness, a perfect unity and oneness, the same in the Godhead, the same in the body of Christ, the same with each other. We are one with our Heavenly Father. We are one with each other through Jesus Christ, who ministers that through the Holy Spirit. That is said to be your calling, my calling. And we yield and surrender to that, that the Holy Spirit may build and work that through each of us. You cannot do this in yourself. Don't even try and attempt this. But he can and he will do this. This is why we're baptized not only into the body of Christ by the Spirit, but baptized also by the Holy Spirit, empowered so that this can be worked and created in the body of Christ. So that when they come into the body, they're not just seeing us, but they're seeing the one who is head over that body, whose name is Jesus Christ. So that the world can see that he's still alive and living today. Is he alive and living today through your life, through your consecration, through your faith? Only you can answer that one. Nobody else can. What does it say in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5? Galatians 6, verses 1 to 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves lest you also be tempted. Let's just stop there, because that's a very important verse there. It means that if God is using you, or you see someone who is in sin or is fallen, and you have the wherewithal, God is using you to pray and intercede, then it says you do this in the spirit of gentleness, not forcing that person, considering lest you also be tempted. In other words, There go I by the grace of God. That could well be me. Or what I'm praying for over that brother or sister I once did a few years ago. And now, because God has forgiven me, I have the privilege to be able to pray for that brother or sister, that forgiveness that God forgave me, what I did 2 or 3 years ago or whatever it be. That is what is meant by that. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. There you go. But let each one examine his own work, or heart in other words, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Again, this speaks of the true unity and oneness. It speaks of the right heart, a heart to see our brother, our sister restored. Now we need to know the motive and heart of why we do this. We're stressing what we're to do, but there has to be a motive, a desire in which this can be done. And we can see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, which says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other well-being. So when I stand in the gap, when I pray or intercede for my brother, my sister, for the unity and oneness of the body, or if somebody has fallen or in sin, it says quite clearly what the motive should be. Don't seek your own self, but each one the other's well-being. It's for their well-being. It's because I want my brother, my sister to be forgiven. I want them to experience true unity and oneness. I want them to experience that love that is in the body of Christ, that at the moment they find hard to receive or accept, or they can't let go that rejection or whatever it would be. We have to pray this and desire this with the right motive and not what I get out of it. Now, what do we mean by what we get out of it? Well, praise God, the Lord showed me that sister and her problem and her weakness, and I sought the Lord and I got in prayer for her, and look how God has restored her. Well, when you hear that sort of thing come out of a saint's mouth, they have not seen the right heart, the right motive. They have prayed that in a wrong way. They have misused what God has revealed to them and cause themselves to become proud and puffed up. And there's the difference. And that's gone on. We've seen it in the house of God. And that's why our motives are very important. Why we do this. Let's also look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. What does it mean there? What are you interested in? That is the things of this world. Well, of course, we're interested, hopefully, in the Lord and our fellowship and coming together, but we have also other interests, don't we? We have interests in our houses, doing our gardens, washing the car, having to go shopping. You know, we have a certain interest. Those things have to be done. Well, it also means to be interested also in your brother and sister? Interested in what sort of week they had? Interested where maybe they went on holiday, had a break? Where did you go? What did you do? Being interested in the conversation and in what they're saying, having time for them, being a good listener. Instead of wanting to give out all what you do. Overcomers need to listen and to listen hard and to take it in and to have time and give time for your brother, your sister, your neighbour, and to let them talk and speak. Interested. Are we interested in one another like that? Or do we dismiss one another? We're short with one another. We don't want to be too long with that brother or sister. Oh, they irritate me, or whatever it would be. That's what it means. This is what we're dealing with today, the unity and oneness in the body. And this is why we endure and we stay with this, with each other, so that this can be achieved, built and worked through us in the house of God. That's what we're looking at today. So you ask yourself, in honesty, am I interested in my brother and my sister? And only you again can answer that question. You see, my faith, my prayers, my commitment, my coming to the body, will it edify the assembly? Will it bring my brother, my sister closer to Christ? That is what we should be asking ourselves. That is why we're here. That is why we're in the body of Christ. We ask ourselves that question, am I here that this will bring my brother, my sister closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? That should be our heart, our goal, our motive. And if it's not, then you are not meeting the level, the standard of what true unity and oneness really is about. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here we are. Jesus revealed the example. He did it himself. And he says now, because he's done it, he has overcome, he has wrought that victory at the cross, he'll work that in our lives as well, if you want it, if you're willing to yield over to the Holy Spirit, because that is the question. That is the model, that is the standard for unity and oneness. Find back in Romans 15, verse 4, which says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It says patience and endurance. And with that, we know what patience, we know what endurance means. It means that much is built in the body of Christ by these virtues. So we need that patience, that endurance, staying with it, so that these virtues are built in our fellowship, built through you and I. You see, it's interesting, isn't it, that patience, endurance, establishes the plan of God and the establishment of his kingdom. The kingdom that will be seen when Jesus comes to rule on the earth will come and is coming as a result of our patience, our endurance, letting the Holy Spirit build through us in our fellowship as the bride makes herself ready. Isn't it wonderful, God's plan, how he's working this through you and I. This is why our fellowship, our unity and oneness is so vital, is so important, and is so powerful. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39, which says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." What is the will of God? The will of God is what he's saying to us right now, today, here in this meeting. This is the will of God being accomplished in our lives. "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Praise God for that. Hallelujah. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And so this unity, this fellowship then, is for the saving of the soul. And that's what it's about. This is why our fellowship, our coming together, our unity, why I am laboring, talking about this today, is so that you may be saved. You may make it into the kingdom of heaven. Your soul will be preserved. That's why this is so important, this teaching. And what does it say back in Romans 15 and verse 5? "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus." So he calls himself patience and comfort because that's what he is. How often has God comforted you? He's comforted me so many times. That is why we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he's called himself patience and comfort to us. So do likewise to your brother, your sister, your neighbor, what he's doing to you. Share it out. We are to be like-minded in all these things. And as I bring this to a close now, we're just going to look at a couple more scriptures just to really labour this so that we really not only can hear this but enter into the experience of this. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." If you want unity, oneness in the body of Christ, put away those childish things and start growing up. And finally, what he says in verse 6 of Romans 15, "that you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," which reminds us of what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There, that speaks of true unity, oneness, and fellowship. And the only way that that is going to be achieved in our lives and in FGA is that we endure, we stay with it, and we stay with each other. I see no other way, brothers and sisters, that this can be achieved. As I've given it to you today in the scriptures, and the scriptures don't get it wrong, God doesn't get it wrong. Now, we may be saying in our flesh, this is impossible. This man is crazy. Nothing can ever be achieved like this. Well, it's not by might. It's not by power. It is by my spirit, says the Lord. And what is impossible with man is possible with God. And that is why we have given over the years faith, that you may walk by faith, that this can be achieved, built in each and every one of us. Every one of us is responsible for each other. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that you know how to pinpoint. You know how to place your finger on what is needed, what needs to be added in the body of Christ. And Lord, I believe we've heard it today. And Father, may it be a source of prayer and intercession, both individually and corporately. Father, may our heart's desire is to be not only hearers, but doers of this word that we've heard today. Help us to yield our lives over, to not resist, but to let you continue to build through each one of us and those that you add to the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this. May our eyes be simply looking to Jesus, looking away from the world and all its allurements, its lusts, its lies, its fantasy. Father, may we be sensitive to our motives, to our heart. And Father, with all that we're blessed, and to continue to be blessed, may we have the heart's desire to share it, to glorify your name. For Lord, there are needs, and there will always be needs. And Father, if we, whether corporately, individually, are able to help with that need, and it's not just financially, then here am I, use me. Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you for our time together, our fellowship, even though it's online. Thank you that you had your way so that this teaching could go out. We're very clear. We've seen how the enemy tried to stop it, but you are on the throne. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, keep each one of us always walking in your light, walking according to your word. Keep us from the evil one. Keep us from temptations. Keep us, Lord, above all, from ourselves, we ask in Jesus' name.
Constancy, follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a